Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Last night, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump faced off for the first time in the 2016 presidential election. They debated for 1.5 hours at Hofstra University in New York, while an estimated 100 million people watched from around the world. Early on, first-time candidate Trump labeled Clinton, the first female presidential nominee of a major political party, a typical politician after she gave a thumbnail of her economic policies.
Broad-based, inclusive growth is what we need in America, not more advantages for people at the very top.
Mr. Trump,
typical politician, all talk, no action, sounds good, doesn't work, never going to happen.
Today we look back on this historic event to analyze their performances and the potential impact on the electorate. Joining us from Ohio Northern University, Chair of Communication and Media Studies, Professor Jennifer Walton. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Also, Ohio State University political scientist Paul Beck. Welcome back, Paul.
Good to be with you, Ann.
We've seen a lot of debates this season. How did this one measure up? Jennifer?
It was an interesting scenario, and no one really knew exactly what to expect, but we really wanted to see substance during this election, more substance than what we've seen, and we were hoping the debate would give us that opportunity. And I think a lot of people kind of wanted to see which version of Donald Trump would appear. We didn't know if he was going to be kind of the bombastic, outrageous Trump that we saw in so many of the Republican debates that happened during the primaries. And with Hillary Clinton, you know, she is a known commodity. She has been debating for decades. So we knew that she was going to be very well prepared and that she would be preparing for whatever version of Donald Trump appeared.
I read, Paul Beck, that there were two versions that appeared at least. That there was the bombastic,
yes,
shooting from the hip kind of a guy. And then there was also the more serious contemplative.
I think that's right. My feeling was that both of the candidates were very much in character last night. Clinton was, as one would predict she would be and has been all along. Trump kind of vacillated, I think you're right on that, between being the controlled Trump, particularly the controlled Trump when he was speaking from teleprompters and scripted in the past, and the more, how do you want to say it, belligerent in some ways, cutting in some ways, making comments as she was speaking, mm-hmm, in some ways. But that's very much in character for him. I think the 40% of the electorate that likes Trump probably came away being pretty satisfied with him. The 40-some percent that liked Clinton probably came away being very satisfied with her. The real question is, what about the persuadables, the people who are kind of in the middle, either supporting a third party candidate right now in the polls, or really undecided as to who they're going to vote for? We'll have to wait and see what the polls show. My guess is that Clinton won the persuadables more than Trump did last night, but we'll see.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We're looking back all the way to last night and the 90-minute debate between presidential nominees Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. My guest, you just heard from Paul Beck, political scientist at Ohio State. Also with us, Jennifer Walton. She is chair of the Communication and Media Studies at Ohio Northern University. If you want to weigh in on this, tell us what you think. Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. And, of course, when we're talking about persuadables, we're really talking about people that maybe are leaning one way or the other. I'm thinking about people who are leaning maybe toward a third party or not voting at all, not people who are necessarily undecided and whether or not they've changed their point of view on that. Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Are you a persuadable out there? Tell us what you thought. You can email us at allsides@wosu.org. What were your expectations of both of you about what Donald Trump had to do to succeed in this arena last night? What did he need to do?
From my perspective, I think that it was important for him to look presidential because he's been trying. And so many of the analysts and pundits have said that we need to see a more presidential and poised candidate and not this, you know, kind of reality star that the persona that he has been portraying for so long. And so I really think that he went into this debate saying, I really need to work on my temperament. I need to work on appearing more presidential. I need to be calm. I need to be collected. And I think we saw more of that in this election or in this debate than we have previously. But there were a few times that I think Clinton was able to get under his skin, rattle him a little bit, where he kind of started to fall back into the more outrageous.
What do you think one of those an example of that would be?
Well, I think when she started talking about his tax returns, mm-hmm. you know, that has been a hot button issue for a long time. And she just started listing all of the reasons that we might think of why he might not release his tax returns. So, you know, maybe he hasn't been as charitable as he said that he is. You know, maybe he hasn't, you know, made as much money, or he makes even more money. And she mentioned that he, when he was trying to get a casino license, mm-hmm. that he did release his tax returns, and it showed that he hadn't paid federal income tax for years and years.
And he said, that means I'm smart. Let's yeah. hear a cut from that exchange.
When she releases her 33,000 emails that have been deleted, as soon as she releases them, I will release my tax returns.
This is something that the American people deserve to see, and I have no reason to believe that he's ever going to release his tax returns because there's something he's hiding.
Right. I mean, that's, and then she went on, I think, with that litany of possibilities.
Right.
It did seem to rattle him. And I thought that between Lester Holt and Hillary Clinton, they made it very, very clear that there's nothing in the IRS rules that would prevent him from releasing the returns, even though he says that he's under an audit and blah, blah, blah. I mean, Paul Beck, they seem to really clarify things there.
I think that's right. And I think she did a good job of saying, well, okay, why won't he release the returns?
Because
and
he's not prohibited from doing it, so why would he do it otherwise?
That's right. Yeah. But it's speculation that I think she wanted to put on the table and have voters think about.
Let's see. Dee in Clintonville, you're on the air. Hi, Dee.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, thanks.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
One of the things that I was interested in is the numerous comments that Trump made, kind of like asides, or just he just slipped in, that really hasn't gotten any examination. One of them was when Hillary was talking about the fact that in 2006 he was saying that he hoped that the market crashed so he could pick up things in a less expensive way. Mm-hmm. And he slid in this thing and said, well, that's just business. And then when she went after him about the fact that he didn't pay people that did work for him, then he tried to poo-poo that by saying, oh, well, they probably didn't do a good job.
And she had a similar remark about his tax returns. And he said, you know, that he had not paid any taxes. And it was kind of along that same vein. How do you think that flies, Jennifer Walton?
Well, I actually have heard some mention of his asides in some of the commentary last night and this morning. And I think that it really showed how he views himself. He can do whatever he wants because he is, you know, he's not a politician. You know, he can try to rationalize a lot of the things that we can't even imagine. You know, we can't imagine not paying income tax. We can't imagine not paying somebody who did work for us. You know, we could imagine not hiring them again if we didn't like the work that was done. But I I did think that it was interesting, and I think that those were the moments that she actually did get under his skin and rattled him, where he felt like he needed to defend himself in some way.
Yeah.
No, I think that's right. The interesting thing about this whole campaign and Trump's success so far is that he's portraying himself as a change agent without really saying what the change would be in any specific way. It'd just be different from what they, and he points to both Republicans and Democrats, from what they, the politicians, have done. And so all of these things about Trump as a businessman, paying taxes or not paying taxes, begin to define what the change might look like, or at least what his perspective would be on that change. And I think that one thing Clinton has to do and the Democratic campaign has to do is try to put into voters' minds some ideas about, well, okay, what's this change going to look like over time? And I think the election will turn on whether they can say or question the direction of change that he might take the country in.
Do you think he's going back to that, hey, I'm a businessman, I'm going to do what's best for my business, for my family, I'm going to make as much money as I can thing, which he kind of uttered almost that exact sentiment last night? Is that, you know, when you talk to Trump supporters, a lot of them will say, one of the first things out of their mouth will be, well, he's a successful businessman. Why wouldn't he be able to do that for the country? Is a debate in this kind of venue, is this the right opportunity to push those buttons? Is this where it's going to work?
Well, I think he believes that.
Okay.
And in fact, Jennifer said that, and I think she's exactly right on that point, is that he very much believes in himself and his business career and his business successes. Now, you could take that two different ways. Why has he been so successful? Well, what the Clinton campaign is trying to suggest is that he's been successful because he's a shady businessman. He's taken advantage of people. He doesn't see it that way, of course. And in some ways, he doubles down on his success by, I think, reinforcing the image that the Clinton campaign is trying to paint of him. But again, that's what he believes, and I think that's what a lot of Trump supporters like.
That's who he is.
Yes.
Yeah. Dee, thanks for that call. We are looking back on the first debate in the 2016 presidential election cycle. If you have a question or comment, you can give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. Democrat Hillary Clinton and Republican Donald Trump faced off for the first time last night in a 90-minute debate broadcast around the world. Early on, Clinton joked that Trump appeared to be laying every leadership failure of past administrations at her feet.
I have a feeling that by the end of this evening, I'm going to be blamed for everything that's ever happened.
Why not?
Why not? Yeah, why not? Join the debate by saying more crazy things.
Aside from the crazy reference, it was one of the few moments of levity in the encounter at Hofstra University in New York. We're looking back at the performances of Clinton and Trump today. Still with us, Chair of Communication and Media Studies at Ohio Northern University, Jennifer Walton, and OSU political scientist Paul Beck. If you want to join the conversation, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. And we talked earlier about the persuadables, the people that may not vote but would like to, but they can't decide, or people who are leaning toward one of the non-major party candidates, the Green Party or the Libertarians, which of course he won't be Libertarian on the ballot in Ohio, but whether or not they might be persuaded to go to a major party. 614-292-8513 if you're one of those people, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. An analysis this morning on NPR noted Clinton's wonkishness and whether it was too much last night. And Trump is like the anti-wonk. And I was wondering, are we comparing apples and oranges here? Is she always going to come across as more wonkish compared to a Donald Trump? Paul Beck?
Oh, I think she absolutely will. She's been in government. She's been connected with policymaking. That is a strength. And this is also the way she thinks about things. Trump is a big theme person. And the big theme, of course, as I said before, is change. Going to be different from the politicians. I'm going to be different from the Washington crowd, both Democrats and Republicans. The more he specifies what that change will look like, the more trouble he could get in. One issue they could have raised last night, and they touched on it a bit, is the issue of the debt.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, he's talked about protecting entitlement programs while cutting taxes in a fairly massive way, while expanding spending on the military.
And he
did, and it doesn't add up.
Well, he did a primer on trickle-down economics,
yes,
too, that was, you know, ripped from the headlines of 1986 or
That's
87
right.
or something.
And, of course, the record on trickle-down is very mixed. It worked in the early Kennedy years, but it really hasn't worked since then. So there are those kinds of issues. But I think that the more specific he gets on policy, the more difficult his case becomes. And so he stays away from that. And I think his advisors advise him to stay away from that.
And is that good or bad for Hillary Clinton when it comes to what she sounds like in a debate the likes of last night?
I think it's good for her because she is proving that she has the experience, even though he says it's all bad experience. But she's been a part of it. She's been in it. She's lived in the White House. She's been Secretary of State. She actually really understands the policy efforts that go into this level of government. And he really looked like he had no real substance or answers last night. He was making a lot of grand statements and didn't really follow through with anything. So I still don't really think that people completely understand what his primary plans and platforms are. But like Paul said, that's part of his appeal. With Hillary, we know what we're getting. She's a known commodity. And that known commodity is something that Americans are getting tired of. They're just kind of tired of the same old politician. And Trump is really offering that change.
Is it Judina in Pataskala?
Yes.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I was wanting to comment on the preparedness. Hillary was criticizing Trump for not being prepared, but you can't prepare for everything. When Bush had to deal with the towers being hit, he wasn't prepared for that. He had to be a gut reaction and work fast.
Well, can you be prepared for something?
Well, yeah, you do prepare for some things, and I think that Trump is good at preparing for something.
Like what?
I don't know. I hadn't thought about exactly what he was prepared for, but I know that Hillary was not prepared when they hit our embassy overseas, and people died because of it.
Okay. Judina, thank you for your call.
Thank you for taking it. Bye.
Judina, she appreciates that gut reaction kind of style of leadership, I guess. And she sees that in Donald Trump and saw it last night, I guess. And some people just like that.
Yeah. Donald Trump, one of his strengths, and so many of his supporters cite this, is he is authentic. What you see is what you get. You're not really questioning who he is or where he's coming from. We don't really know what type of president he would be or how prepared he would be, but you can't be prepared for everything.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, anyone who's running for office has to be very careful about what they say because you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what is actually happening in the Oval Office until you're there.
like no new taxes, read my lips, no new taxes, that kind of a thing?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. That was, you know, I teach in my classes about how career politicians want to be forgettable because their words can come back to haunt them. And read my lips, no new taxes is the best example
too
of
catchy,
that.
Too catchy.
Yeah.
Matt, you're on the air. Hi, Matt.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. Thanks for calling.
I just wanted to basically get out there. I really saw nothing substantial or substantive in last night's debate. In fact, it didn't really even seem like they were debating any issues. It was just kind of tit for tat and very predictable, very low intelligence in the discussion.
What would you have liked
really
to have seen
this election?
What would you have liked to have seen? I mean, what are you talking about? More depth, more into the policies?
Yeah, definitely. Anything of substance would have been nice. It just seemed like Hillary was kind of baiting Trump to see him overreact to something, and all of us kind of were on the edge of our seat waiting for that. But that's not really a debate, is it?
No, it's more like reality television, right?
Yeah, exactly. Hmm.
You are apparently haven't decided who you're going to vote for, right?
I don't even know if I'm going to vote this year.
Okay, Tom, thanks a lot. I'm sorry, Matt, thank you so much for your call. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
Let me just say on his point that I think he's right, that there was not engagement between the two of them on substance. But again, I think that's not what one should expect from this, because Trump is not a substance person. What he's really saying is throw the bums out and give somebody else who has not been part of the political world a chance to mold policy. But he doesn't have to say what that's going to be. He was saying throw the bums out when he was running for the Republican nomination. Mm-hmm. And the bums in that case were all the other Republican candidates who had political experience. And so I think we really can't expect the kind of almost tit-for-tat engagement in substantive
issues.
Where
they're getting into the kind of the
– Over taxes, for instance. What's his case for – lowering taxes, particularly on people who have accumulated a good deal of wealth and income. He said things about that in the past, but it's a growth case that would be really nice to debate on the stage, but we're just not going to get that.
We're not going to go there. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. If you have a question or comment, want to join the conversation, 614-292-8513. Tom in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Tom.
Oh, hi there, Ann. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just simply wanted to say I'm a strong Hillary supporter. I think I might have said on your program a couple weeks ago, it's a clear choice here. You've got one person who is completely in control, would be a great president. You have somebody who's completely inept, buffoonish, and it was clear that that's what we saw last night. We mostly know what they stand for. We don't really have to have an in-depth policy discussion. We got all the high points there last night, and it's clear that you've got one person under pressure who's cool and calm and collect. That's what you want in a president. You got another person who's over there sniping like he's in the third grade. It couldn't be clearer, and I think anybody that is on the fence should say, you know, let's make sure that the wrong person doesn't get into office. And then that being said, I just want to ask your panel if you think that this debate last night could be a game changer, could, in light of the polls, they're tightening up recently, if this could, you know, turn it in Clinton's favor now.
Well, I'm not sure if there are a whole lot of undecided voters out there this election. I think that, like I think Matt said, I think that we have people who are trying to decide if they're going to vote at all rather than who they are going to vote for. And I think that these debates, the way they are being set up, the way they're being moderated, is more for entertainment value and ratings than actually educating voters on substance. I think we want to see them side by side. We want to see who looks most presidential, who has the most valuable experience. And I don't really know if the debates are going to make that big of a difference in the end. But it will be interesting to see who shows up for the next two debates, you know, which version. So it looked like Hillary was kind of having a good time, and she was smiling and laughing, and I'm sure for some people that didn't come off very well.
The smirking, you know, people see one person sees a smile, another person sees a smirk, kind of a thing. Tom, thanks a lot for that call. Glad to hear from Trump supporters as well. If you're out there, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Jackie in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Jackie.
Hi, Ann. Well, I just wanted to say, as a civilian wonk, I watched the debate very closely and listened to a lot of the commentary. And unlike your guests and Matt, I think there was substance, but it was all on one side, and that was Hillary. She also had a little bit of levity when he went off about his temperament and she laughed. But my main comment is that I haven't heard any response to Donald Trump's dismissal of our relationship with Japan. And I was wondering if anybody was going to talk about that and if it might be having a little bit of reverberation, for the Japanese people. And of course, I'm a Hillary person.
Okay. Thanks, Jackie.
Well, on the Japan issue, he said that kind of thing before, and so that wasn't particularly new. What struck me as happening towards the end of the debate is that Trump really faded, whereas Hillary remained strong. It almost lays to rest the claim that she doesn't have the energy and the stamina to do this sort of thing. He was the one who I think lost on that particular issue. But also foreign policy is an area where he knows the least and has the least experience and also is the most radical, maybe, certainly in terms of his stances on NATO and other things. And that did indeed come up last night. So again, if you're trying to define what kind of change would it be, foreign policy, I think, is the area where he is most vulnerable. And you can see this legion of people who have been in previous administrations, Democratic and Republican, who've been in the foreign policy establishment, in effect, really taking issue with him on his foreign policy stances.
Hmm. Yeah, it was kind of interesting to listen to his views that he had on foreign policy and trade. And Clinton knows foreign policy. I mean, she was Secretary of State. She's done so much, and you know, he does say that she did a terrible job, but she still kind of understands the global community better than, you know, most any other candidate that we've had. So it was interesting to see the two of them try to spar on that issue.
Pardon me, Paul in Akron, you're on the air. Hi, Paul.
Yeah, hi. How are you doing?
Fine, thank you.
I'm a little disappointed in the debate that did occur last night because, like some of the previous callers, I was hoping it would be a little bit more substantial, such as the debates that occurred between Clinton and Sanders when they talked about different policies and how they would enact them. And I also thought that Clinton really missed out on a lot of opportunities to shine when Trump made comments that she really didn't respond to very effectively.
Such as?
When he commented about the fact that when they talked about hacking and how, you know, the hacking of the DNC showed that Clinton and the DNC were working against Sanders, she could have come back with something along the lines of, well, that you say that, but Sanders is still campaigning for me because he believes in the things that I'm talking about. Whereas Kasich campaigning for you? He pledged to actually support the candidate, and that's nowhere to be seen.
That is interesting that that issue wasn't brought up. That's a good point, Paul. And maybe there's still two debates left. You know, we haven't run out of time. But
well, and additionally, I mean, he talked about the fact that she's been in this for 30 years and why hasn't she been successful? And that would have been a perfect opportunity for her to talk about the fact about the obstructionism in Congress and the fact that, you know, Republicans are so unwilling to let anything that Obama is doing try to get through, and make comparisons to a Democratic-controlled state like California versus a Republican-controlled state like Kansas, and just how effective those forms of government have been going. Again, I thought she could have really shined a little bit better, but she just didn't seem to be as prepared as she claims to have been.
Thanks a lot, Paul. Appreciate your time.
All righty. Bye-bye.
You're nodding a little bit. I mean, do you agree with what he's suggesting there? Or?
Yeah, she missed out on several opportunities that she could have really shown her experience and, you know, been kind of quicker on her feet about that. And I think that Trump missed out on a lot of opportunities as well. And I've heard from a lot of different people just since the debate happened last night that a lot of the Republican base, not his supporters, the Republican base that are trying to get behind him, you know, they were disappointed that there wasn't more substance, and they were disappointed that he missed out on opportunities to attack her more and lay out some sort of a plan for something.
I guess I just keep comparing this to the primary debates where I feel like there was a lot more substance in this than there was all, you know, and I don't think you can compare it to Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders because they're both policy people. So there was going to be a lot more there. But what do you think?
Strike a contrast here. Okay. You see, if you look at the Republican leadership in the Congress, there's a lot of substance there. They are clearly positioning themselves on a whole variety of issues, many of which are positions that Trump does not take. And so it's really interesting to see this contrast. And some people have criticized him as not being a true conservative. And I think that's correct, actually. And so, again, the point I was trying to make before is that once he gets entangled in substance, then he begins to define what the change would look like. And it's change maybe that a lot of Republicans wouldn't be particularly happy about on foreign policy, on entitlement programs. You can kind of go down the list of things there. And so I think that it's in his interest in a way, his political interest, not to engage in substance. On the other hand, that's what Hillary is a policy person who's been engaged in policymaking. She has a lot of detailed proposals. She is a cautious policymaker and politician, which, of course, a lot of voters don't like. But that is the way people who have been in the public sector making decisions are going to be. They see things as nuanced rather than clear-cut necessarily. They're trying to kind of negotiate and bargain over things. And part of his appeal is he doesn't do that. You know, the other thing I wanted to add, and this is thinking of the aftermath of the debates. A lot of how people react to the debates and whether public opinion moves in one direction or another is not going to be based on the debates themselves, but rather the commentary on them and kind of the headline commentary. And one thing that really struck me this morning when I listened to some of that commentary is that Trump is almost reacting as if he lost the debates. He's blaming the microphone. He's now criticized the moderator. There are a variety, and he's tried to bring issues to the fore that he didn't think to bring out last night. And that, I think, is a commentary that is going to strike a resonant chord within this group of people who really are undecided right now, or at least not convinced that they want to vote for either Trump or for Clinton or not vote at all.
Sometimes I wonder if people back in California react differently to everything than we do up here because they get to listen to it at a decent time of night. We are going to continue our conversation, get to some emails, more calls when we return to our analysis of the debate between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump last night at Hofstra University in New York. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. We're talking about the first presidential debate of 2016 between major party nominees Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. They faced off in a 90-minute debate that touched on the economy, anti-terror policies, and national security. Trump also raised the issue of Clinton's physical fitness.
You have so many different things you have to be able to do, and I don't believe that Hillary has the stamina.
Let's let her respond.
Well, as soon as he travels to 112 countries and negotiates a peace deal, a ceasefire, a release of dissidents, an opening of new opportunities in nations around the world, or even spends 11 hours testifying in front of a congressional committee, he can talk to me about stamina.
Still with us is Chair of Communication and Media Studies at Ohio Northern University, Jennifer Walton, and also OSU political scientist Paul Beck. Questions, comments, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Trump also noted that Clinton had taken time off the campaign trail to prepare for the debate. She did not apologize. She came back with the obviously rehearsed but pretty spiky retort. What did you make of that, Jennifer Walton? Did it hit the target?
I think she made her point, and we do know that she prepared an awful lot. She locked herself away in a hotel for 4 days doing mock debates with somebody, one of her close advisors playing Donald Trump. So I think that she was going to be prepared for whichever version of Donald Trump showed up to the debate. And I think that her retort kind of fell flat, but she made her point.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about Trump going after her for her stamina? It was predictable. We kind of knew it was going to happen, but how did he come across?
Well, predictable, but it didn't work. I think that he started out strong and faded over the course mm-hmm. of the debate. She was pretty constant throughout and ended very strong, I thought. Now, it was in foreign policy, mm-hmm. which, of course, is her bailiwick and not so much his. But I really think that people sitting there who had doubts about her health and her stamina probably walked away from that debate saying, she seems to be in fine fettle. There seems to be no problem there.
Let's see. Jack and Delphus, you're on the air. Hi, Jack.
Hello.
Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. I just wanted to comment about Donald Trump's ideas of, you know, throwing the old out. Well, I'm in total agreement of getting rid of the old. I think there's too many career politicians. And to be honest and truthful, I think a lot of them are bought off by campaign contributions. And I hear so much about this entitlement. And, you know, you talk entitlement. Social Security isn't an entitlement. It's something I've been paying for ever since I was 15 years old, first started working.
Me too.
If you want to look at real entitlement, I think Congress and the Senate need to take a look at themselves. So, you know, I'd like to see change. And speaking of change, I don't know what kind of change Donald Trump would bring us other than Donald Trump. And from everything that I see in Donald Trump is a narcissistic con man. I mean, that's my view of him. I don't know of anything else. If you expect me to vote for you, I need to know what your policies are. I need to know some in-depth ideas of how you're really going to fix this country, not just wait and see or, you know, false promises. I think Donald Trump is full of false promises, and the man evidently employee doesn't pay some of its contractors. I mean, I pay my bills.
All right.
Well, I pay my taxes as well.
Jack, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Take care.
I think those are good points. I think what Trump is banking on is people's great dissatisfaction with the way things are right now. And it's out there. And he strikes a resonant chord with people. Some people, based on that, are willing to go so far as to say, well, let's just walk off the plank and change things. And I don't really care maybe what direction it goes on, but we just need change. Throw the bums out, as I as I said before. Some people, like the caller, are saying, well, no, I need to know more about what the nature of that change is going to be. Are we just going to get ourselves into a changed situation that's worse than what we have? And that's part of the kind of the undercurrent in this campaign. And I think it's an important undercurrent.
I want to turn now to Larry in Canton. Hi, Larry. You're on the air.
Hi, Ann. Yeah, I just wanted to call in and comment on Hillary Clinton's use of the time to promote her book and her website. And I just personally didn't think that was very presidential.
When you talk about promoting her book, I just want to make sure I understand. When she referred to how she wrote about something.
Read my book. Read my book.
Yeah.
Okay. And the, you know, on the contrast, you know, Donald Trump, he claims started a club in Florida, whatever. You know, a few things he mentioned that he had done, but he didn't mention the club's name. He didn't promote his business as she did. And the other thing on the economy would be everything Hillary, or a lot of the stuff that Hillary's proposing, is government spending. It's those so-called shovel-ready jobs, or even the solar panels. When she said we will install, you know, was it 500 million solar panels? Who's that? The government? Are we going to use our tax dollars to do that? You know, government spending is not a valid economy.
Thank you for your call, Larry. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And on another opposing view, Vernon from Cincinnati. Hi, Vernon. You're on the air.
Hi, Ann. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
I saw what I wanted to see last night. Mr. Trump he went off the deep end. He was choking, and Mrs. Clinton could have really destroyed him. And falling, why is he drinking so much water? Is he going to fall down? But he's not presidential. He had a club here in Cincinnati, and it didn't last that long. But anyway, he's not going to be our next president, so I'm confident of that right now.
Okay. So all right.
He will be the president.
Vernon, thanks for your call.
To the bank.
Okay. I want to talk to David and Linda. Linda, I wanted to get to you a little earlier, David. Welcome to the show, because you you wanted to talk about Congress a little bit. Welcome.
Yeah, good morning, Ann.
Mm-hmm.
I listened to Donald Trump's speech to the RNC. I listened to the debate last night, and I've listened to the coverage on NPR. And he does have a couple of specific initiatives on defense and tax and trade, but I have never heard him once mention, I will work with the Congress. Secretary Clinton, I think we can take for granted she understands how the federal government operates. And Donald Trump, he just seems oblivious. I don't think he's ignorant. I just think it would be contrary to his nature to acknowledge that, you know, we have a separation of powers and a bicameral legislature, and, you know, he should watch the West Wing and learn something about how to be an effective president. But I just think it would be contrary to his nature to admit he needs Congress to get anything done.
I think, David, thank you for the call. I think David makes an interesting point. It is something I've noticed before during the primary debates that other candidates would routinely bring up working with Congress. Obviously, John Kasich from Ohio did that a lot, that they know how to work with Congress. Trump, no, never.
I want to make two quick points. Mm-hmm. One is that, of course, Congress in some ways has been the enemy when Trump attacks, because it's part of the status quo, part of the government. He's been very critical of Congress, less so now that he's the Republican nominee.
Mm-hmm.
But still, he said, I don't need the Republican establishment. I don't really need to work with them. And in one respect, he's right. When it comes to foreign policy, including trade policy, the president really has a free hand to do what he wants to do.
Don't you think they need congressional approval, though?
For most things, not. On free trade, Congress has granted the president the authority.
Okay, that's right.
To not only negotiate these deals, but to also abrogate them if he or she decides that they're not serving the country's interest. And the same is true, of course, in terms of commitment of troops and other things in the foreign policy area. So there are two different realms here. Domestically, a president needs Congress. And that's a problem both for Clinton and for Trump, is dealing with Congress. It'll be a real challenge for them. And foreign policy, they will have a free hand. And Trump has indicated that he is much more willing, I think, than Clinton is, to operate with that free hand and pursue the kinds of policies that, that he has talked about and he very much wants.
Well, both Bill and Hillary Clinton understand and Bill understood the importance of working with Congress, you know, after the 1994 midterm election when just lost all of the support in Congress. You know, Bill really figured out the best way to reach across the aisle and work with Congress.
But that was a very different Congress than what we have today.
Yes, absolutely. But I do think that Hillary shares that understanding. And she was a senator. She knows the importance. And one thing that career politicians are most interested in is getting reelected. And I don't think that if Donald Trump gets elected, I don't know if he would really work hard to get reelected. You know, I think that he's not even really showing a lot of interest that he wants to be president. You know, in the debate yesterday, he kind of just trailed off there toward the end and, you know, didn't really do much to help his case. So I don't know if he would be all that willing to work with Congress, where I think that, you know, Clinton was in Congress and understands the importance of it. So it would be interesting to see. And I would like to hear more about it in the next debate.
There, you know, there's a couple issues we didn't get to today that were really a big talking points yesterday and the days leading up to the debate. One was how Donald Trump would deal with debating a woman, and also the race issue and how that came up in the stop and frisk question. Just in general, I mean, can you talk about how he came across in debating a woman? Paul Beck?
Well, I think, again, he was very much in character. He debated Hillary the way he debated some of the Republican candidates in the primaries. Not maybe as vituperative or as belligerent as he was.
But he might not have been anyway, no matter who he would debate at this level. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't really have issues with that.
Yeah.
Although towards the end, he made kind of a comment about Rosie O'Donnell, and I, you know, I think he was losing it towards the end. And I'm sure that his supporters and certainly his handlers winced when he went into that because they didn't want him to raise that issue at all. They don't want to get into the whole area of how he sees the opposite sex.
Mm-hmm.
They said, I think Lester asked about his comment that Hillary Clinton didn't look the part. You know, she didn't have the right look.
Yeah.
And I thought it was interesting because he kind of changed his focus a little bit and kind of went into the stamina.
Yeah.
And that's not where Lester Holt wanted to go. So then Hillary Clinton then jumped on that and kind of started the her evidence of him being sexist.
And his lookism and how people look.
Yes, exactly. Which, and she has had ads that really focus on the things that he has said about women's appearance and things like that. But I thought it was interesting how he tried to change that from look to stamina.
Jennifer Walton, thanks for joining us today. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Jennifer Walton, Associate Professor of Communication Studies and the Department Chair of Communication and Media Studies at Ohio Northern University. And Paul Beck, as always, thank you for joining us. Appreciate your time.
Oh, thank you for having me, Ann.
Paul Beck, political scientist at Ohio State University. Thanks to everybody for your calls. Obviously, a lot of people must have been watching the debate last night because we got a lot of calls on it. Sorry we couldn't get to all of them. Thanks for listening. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.